You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Привет, comrades! You know, they say that in space no one can hear you scream. But according to Yakov Smirnov, in Soviet Russia, no one can hear you scream either because you're in Siberia, or probably already did. He didn't actually say that. I just like to think that he did.
Right for Yakov Smirnov.
You know, deep cut, kids. But you got to get a strap in for the Wayback Machine, because we're going all the way back to 1983. It is the height of the Cold War, and that's the subject of our new movie tonight. We are going to be discussing Sputnik. That's right. I can say Russian. Sputnik. a new sci-fi horror movie from Russia, from a director who apparently this is his first feature. He's a gentleman by the name of Igor Abramenko, and he had a short called Passenger that screened at Fantastic Fest a few years back, and this is his first feature. It was supposed to premiere at Tribeca, but of course, because of everything going on in the world today, it did not get its official world premiere. It did go to video on demand in Russia back in April, and it is the most successful VOD release in Russia to date, beating releases from America and anywhere else in the world. So we here in America are now finally getting it in August, and we're here to talk what it's all about. To help me out here, I've got some fellow cosmonauts here. I am joined by Luane.
Hey, how's it going?
Aaron.
Hello.
And Mike Spider-Man Riojas. I have not recorded anything with Spider Mike in forever, so I'm glad to be back on a podcast with you, Mike.
I like Ike.
Amen.
I like Mike. another 60s reference. That's all we got, kids. Nothing but 60s references. It's all going to be like, you know, Tang and, you know, references to hippies and, you know, the space race.
Absolutely.
Rad? Is it rad? Was that? No, which, that's the 80s. No, that's actually appropriate. That's the 80s.
Actually, yeah. I was going back to the 60s because Sputnik, if you were like me, you see Sputnik and you think, oh, this is a movie about the space race during the Cold War in the 1960s. And, you know, if you don't know, Sputnik was the first artificial satellite ever sent into space. The Soviets beat us to it. America got really pissed off and said, no, we're not going to let them get to the moon first since they already got in outer space. Yeah, and then we hired Kubrick to fake the moon landing. It was a whole thing. But I was confused by the name, but I did a little bit of research. Sputnik is a word that is used for satellite, but it is more commonly translated in Russian as traveling companion or fellow companion, sometimes informally used as a to suggest a spouse. So it's got more words. It has more meanings than just satellite, but once you hear that title, then it kind of clicks. Oh, that's how it connects to the movie that we're reviewing tonight. And to help me do that, LaWayne's going to give us a quick little synopsis of what to expect here.
Well, the short version is a pair of cosmonauts go up into space. A pair of cosmonauts come down from space. One of them's dead. And the other one has to use your term, a Sputnik. Mm-hmm. He's become the host for a parasitical alien creature. And because it's Soviet Russia in the early 80s, the first thing they want to do is figure out how to weaponize it. But to do that, they need to figure out how to separate it from the cosmonaut. So the general in charge of the project finds Tatiana Klimova, who is a some sort of mental health specialist who's basically facing some severe penalties for being willing to do extreme treatments. And that's exactly the thing he's looking for. Somebody to do something really extreme because he's got a deadly alien he wants to get a hold of. And then we spend most of the movie trying to deal with that creature, that cosmonaut, the general, and the scientist who's trying to separate them.
Pretty good.
That's pretty it much
sounds
it.
Like
yeah.
the plot to Venom, and but to, it's not.
Yeah, it kind of sounds to be like, fair, a lot like that. I was going to say, to be fair, yes, the Soviet Union wants to weaponize it, but if it had landed in U.S. hands, we'd be trying to figure out how to weaponize it, too. If I've learned any, I've learned two things from watching sci-fi movies and genre films in general. One, if there's a monster, the government will want to weaponize it, even though that is a terrible fucking idea. And two, when you send your franchise to space, it is officially on its last legs. Yeah. There's nowhere else to go, literally. Like, but this actually does not take... I actually appreciated the effects in this, because they do a credible job, very briefly, of showing this mission in space as they're heading back to Earth. They're supposed to land in Kazakhstan, but they see something crawl across the port window, and you don't need to be a trained cosmonaut to know that is not a good thing.
It's actually a great bit of aural horror, where you're just having to listen to it doing the thump, thump, thump on the outside. Yeah. It sets the pace and the tone for the movie very well.
Yeah, you're freaked out like from the get-go, because you're like, you're in space and something is outside.
Yeah. Yeah, something's knocking on the door of your capsule.
And it's not favored.
It's definitely not something that should be there. It's like, yes. Hey, do you remember bumping in it? No. That definitely wasn't there when we came, when we got here.
You're like, yeah, Jehovah's Witnesses followed us into space.
It's a Jehovah's. Do you have a moment to talk about our space lord? No, go away.
Well, and honestly, the creature design is really cool too. It doesn't come into play towards quite a bit further on in the movie, but they also don't shy away from it once it is introduced. They do a good job of just like, okay, this is now a creature feature. It's a unique design that is just familiar enough and just like a little bit Cloverfield enough to be like, okay, I get it. I get where they're coming from, but it still feels like a good take on that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said Cloverfield, because I was waiting for, like, when the end credits rolled, I was waiting to see, like, the Bad Robot production slate, and they go, fuck, this is a secret Cloverfield sequel. God damn it.
Yeah, there's gonna be a dead T.J. Miller in the lab.
Oh my goodness. No, but one thing we should point out, because Aaron is absolutely right, I think this is it's not reinventing the wheel, but it's an interesting take on the slimy outer space alien. The really interesting twist to this is that it can compact itself. We've seen from Alien on, we've seen movies where, you know, an alien burst out of a guy. We've never seen the alien go back. This is like a regular thing. It comes out and it's only out for like 30 minutes while the host sleeps, and then crawls back into the host, and the host wakes up completely unaware. When we meet our heroine, Tatiana, she's a neurophysiologist, and she's been brought in because she is, as Luane mentioned, she's kind of a maverick. She does things her own way. She takes risks, and the general in charge of the project is like, that is exactly the kind of spirit I need, because this is not a by-the-book operation. When she is brought in to interview Constantine, he's the surviving cosmonaut who's now host of this entity, she finds out that he doesn't know about it, supposedly. They're keeping this from him. And one of the things that she does is realize very quickly that they're trying to turn this thing into a weapon. They consider him expendable. And the only way to kind of get this guy to sort of get with the program and come back to the world, because he's having frequent bouts of amnesia, she decides to tell him the truth, which, of course, freaks out the general and all the scientists. They're like, whoa, we were never supposed to tell the dude what's actually happening.
So, like, that actually brings me to one of my biggest issues with the movie. I think that it does a lot right, and I think the director does a good job of setting the tone, but I think from a script standpoint, this movie ends up being really unfocused, because in the beginning of the movie, it's feeling very much like, okay, we're going to go study this monster. And then as the movie shifts, there's periods where it's feeling like we're watching kind of a Russian Ex Machina, where, okay, this is the guy and the monster might be working together, and they're maybe trying to get out into the world, or are they? And they start teasing these plot lines, and yes, they start teasing the idea of the evil, corrupt, overarching government. And when they finally settle down what they want kind of the plot of the movie to be, the antagonist, it ended up feeling like the least interesting part, a choice they could have done. Like, I wanted them to either not have those hints at the other storylines they could have gone with, or actually explore those in greater detail so they can do them justice.
I found myself fascinated by the plot of this, only because it wasn't exactly what I thought it would be, and it sets up its roles really, really well. Like, it gives you the exact roles of what's going on with the creature, the exact roles of the time it shows up, things that's going on with it, reasons why they can't just separate it right away, like that sort of thing. Like, I found that fascinating. It feels like the right kind of exposition dump. The kind of, like, because they're all telling her the exact things you need to know, and it doesn't feel forced in any way.
Right, and they don't tell her all the truth all at once, either, so she gets to explore it. You know, once we get the info dump, that's not the whole story, as, you know, like, you know something is up when one of the other scientists on the project is like, well, as far as we can tell, it survives on the same nutrients that Constantine, the host, uses. And you just go, no, something tells me that ain't true. And of course, as the movie develops, we get to see that this monster is up to some shit of its own, and has a mind of its own. It's not just a brainless beast. It's got some kind of agenda, and is clever. And really, like I said, kudos on the design. I don't know exactly how much this movie cost, but it cost a pretty penny, and everything financially, I mean, the money is up on the screen. They really do a great job of evoking the era, the 1980s, and it's largely, when you think about it, it's really in just a few locations. It's all like in this top secret military base primarily, or a space capsule, you know. But really, I was just, from beginning to end, I was just gripped by the design, not only of the creatures, but of the environments, the props, you know. Everything about this feels like a legit 1983 time capsule.
Yeah, I mean, the production design is really impressive. The sound design is actually really good, too. Although I did notice these weird little musical cues that would just sort of cut out once in a while, which I thought was kind of odd. But yeah, it looks fantastic.
The set design and everything is just like the coldness of the base itself. Like, you feel like she's alone in this whole giant base. And there's like this weird interaction at one point that also sort of solidifies the fact that, hey, you're out here by yourself kind of thing. And it makes everything that much more tense.
I have to admit, I feel like I'm the one who's like speaking up to complain about the movie. I promise I did like thoroughly like this movie. More than I didn't, definitely, but it had things in it that kept making me kind of sit back. Aside from kind of the script itself, there was a bit that the editing I feel was strange. And there were two or three segments where I feel like they set up a situation and either didn't know how to get out of it, and so just cut to whatever happened next. Or maybe they were making an artistic choice, but like, there's a scene where a character gets stuck in an area with this monster who it is establishes, you know, might not necessarily be friendly. And instead of in any way addressing how they're going to get out, what happens, that character building moment, they just cut away to that person getting chewed out for daring to walk into that cage. And they have two of those moments where it felt like they wrote themselves into a corner and so just artistically cut away, which it's not enough for me to really bag on the whole movie. For the most part, they did a really good job with the way they handled their audio and video editing, but there were a few moments that felt weird.
No, I agree on that one. There's quite a few of those little moments where it's like, oh, this thing's going to happen. And then just cuts to something else. And I was like, okay, sure.
Yeah, it's like that's kind of an important thing to see. Like, it things could go bad.
I mean, that could be just a budget-saving thing. Oh, we'd have to cut to a really expensive effect. No, let's just cut to somebody else talking. That's much cheaper. I should point out, this movie is only 113 minutes long. And that's with credits. It runs pretty quickly, but it does occasionally feel like maybe there's some things missing. Maybe they had planned for there to be more, but they just couldn't get around to it. Or they just might have made the decision of, you know what, it's best to let your imagination fill in the blanks and just keep the momentum going. Because once it really kicks in, it kicks in.
I'd buy the budget. Completely. And it does kick in. It gets intense quick. It goes from, like, maybe this is a play on the arrival and we're all nice, to no, there's blood. And there's blood everywhere.
Yeah, I was shocked at how fast this gets going. Because, like, yeah, it starts with the two cosmonauts, and then immediately stuff starts happening. And then as soon as they land, stuff starts happening. And you're just like, what the fuck?
Well, and that's actually another one of the things that their budget somehow allows for, is some pretty decent, I mean, we talked about the creature effects, but there are some gore effects that occur in various parts in the movie that actually look pretty good, particularly near the resolution, nearly end.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about too.
Huh?
I do, which is a shock, because they use some CG blood, which almost always is terrible. But because it's such a low-lit movie and so much of it takes place at night, it's not as bad with them leaning on the CG blood. It looks really good.
Well, you know, since we were talking about it, I mentioned earlier, I have no idea how much this movie cost. That's not entirely true. According to the Wikipedia page, it cost 190 million rubles. And I don't have a handy converter in front of me, but I have to assume that's somewhere. It's definitely over $100 million. I don't know what the conversion rate is, but this wasn't a cheap movie. It's just not, you know, they don't got Marvel money, but for the amount of money they did have, they really made it count. I was very impressed, especially coming from a first-time feature filmmaker. My understanding is the director has done a lot of commercials in the past, and probably some other TV or something. He doesn't have a whole lot of credits on IMDb, but this guy definitely could be someone to look for in the future, because I'd be happy to see what else this guy does.
100%.
Actually, I'd agree. Like, maybe I would have liked a couple of passes on the script, but as far as the director's work, this is quality. Oh, yeah. There's stuff in here that rivals tentpole movies.
Absolutely. And as far as, like, horror goes, I mean, we see plenty of B-movies, horror movies, and, you know, they're usually fun. Sometimes they're better than others, but this is a really solid effort. I mean, if this were the worst movie I saw all week, I would be very happy.
Yeah. You know? It is not the worst movie I've seen this week by amazing. Far.
Yeah. If this is the bottom of the barrel, then we're all doing great. But right now, you know, all the tentpole movies are on hold, or they're going to get dumped on a VOD later. Who knows what the hell's happening with any of this stuff. This feels like a movie that would come out, you know, probably around this time, late August, when they're dumping the horror movies or just, like, lower budgeted sci-fi stuff. But I definitely think it's worth checking out if it comes to, I mean, it's going to be on VOD pretty soon. And if I were a better host, I would know exactly what day it comes out. But I can look that up, but I also think we should probably start moving towards final thoughts. Luane, why don't you go ahead and kick it off?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about how good this movie is, barring a few minor things that we're willing to overlook. One of the advantages to having used this setting is that the tension comes from all sides. It's not just how the creature is going to respond to whatever thing. I mean, she's working for what's clearly an operation in the middle of nowhere that virtually nobody knows about. And Moscow's not going to hear anything bad about. right? So if she screws up, she's just going to disappear. So Tatiana has to deal with all of the sort of political threats that being in Soviet Russia in the 80s involves, on top of the puzzle of dealing with this alien creature and maybe not being super sure that she wants this thing to be out or loose or to be a weapon or anything else. And so it's an interesting, I don't want to use cat and mouse because it feels overused, but there's a lot of everybody sort of scheming against everybody else because everybody's motives are very different from each other. On top of the fact you have a giant human eating creature that this guy pukes out in the middle of the night. It's a really solid effort. I can't wait to see what else this director and his team are going to do. This was kind of a surprise because I thought, well, okay, we'll see how it goes. But no, it was a great movie. I enjoyed it a lot. And I would give it 4 out of 5 Scarlet Roses.
Nice. Aaron?
All right, first, Marco, just to reconfirm, this movie was made for around 109 million rubles.
190.
Okay. Well, my math is a little off, but 109 million rubles is 1.4 million US dollars. So the budget for this movie probably was around $2 million.
Wow.
That sounds right.
Well, damn.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking it was closer to like maybe 1 or 2, a scale of like 1 or 2. I didn't realize the difference was that huge.
Yeah.
So, hey, even better.
Exactly. You know? This guy can make a movie for cheap. That's really impressive.
Yeah, $1 million.
If my Google power is right, someone's going to tell me if I'm wrong, of course. Now, onto my actual final thoughts. Like, this is a really solid effort for a first-time director, especially in the realm of horror. It has a distinct voice. It has a good look. He handles the violence well. He handles the horror well, which is surprisingly rare in actual horror films, to have both the gore and the dread that they do. I think that the script had some issues. I think it could have used a couple of passes to refine what story they wanted to tell. And I think that would have made this a much better movie had they done that. But like that and some weird editing, which might, as Marco said, be to hide the fact that they didn't have enough money to shoot some of those scenes, which I'd buy, and more power to them if they do that. You do what you can. I think this is an absolutely worthy effort for anyone who enjoys sci-fi horror. You know, it's a nice, tense, small little film with great effects. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 gushing neck wounds in yellow.
Okay. In yellow. Spider Mike?
I really like this movie a lot. I actually, I didn't really look up too much on it. I just knew it was a Russian spoken horror film. So I went in a little colder than most. At the beginning, I actually didn't know what was going on. So when they actually finally do the reveal, it was very effective for me. And everything that goes on from there is just great because it delves into the, you know, the psychology of the astronaut, as well as some of the other people there, the colonel, the other scientist who's there who desperately wants to find out what's going on so he can win an award, basically. And the fact that you very much feel like she's mostly alone in this process. Like every time she finds out something, it's like 2 steps forward, 1 step back kind of thing. And the guy who plays the colonel is really good at convincing you that he's on the up and up, and also convincing you that he's not on the up and up kind of thing. And I found that fascinating. The same with even with the scientist. And by the time it was done, I was just like, I kind of wanted it to keep going. I felt like the climax kind of happened a little faster than I expected. But overall, I was still fine with it. I personally would have to give it 8.5 out of 10 makeshift antennas.
Nice. Luane? Oh, wait. It's me, yeah. Isn't it?
All yes, right. It's you. The parasite within you.
I was momentarily possessed and by a parasite. I've blanked out for 30 minutes, but I'm back to normal. Everything's cool, right? No one's in any danger. Yeah, I mean, to kind of reiterate what you guys have said, I was really impressed by this because I knew they didn't have a huge budget, even though I didn't know how much that actually meant. Now that I know how little it was in comparison to American features, and there may be some economies of scale and stuff going on to explain that disparity, but still, not an enormous amount of money, and yet a lot of ideas, a lot of visual ingenuity. It's hard to pull off an alien that doesn't feel like every alien you've ever seen before. I think the performances were actually pretty good. And while this isn't like a jump scare type of movie, it definitely has moments of dread and tension. I agree that the ending does kind of peter out a little bit. And it also has a subplot, which we haven't mentioned. I know we talked a bit before we started recording the review. There is a little subplot that's cutting back to an orphan who is in an orphanage. And I did not understand until the very end how that all came together. And even then, I think I missed some parts of it. But it's a very minor thing. And I think that ties into what Aaron was saying, that some of the editing occasionally seems a little choppy here. But all in all, greatly impressed by this. I had a lot of fun with it, and I'm very eager to see what this director does next. It will be out on available on video on demand on August 14th. And yeah, if you're in the mood for just a good, solid little sci-fi horror flick, and you come in with just, you know, modest expectations, I think you will be as pleasantly surprised as we were. I have to give this... I give this 7 Nevelyashka dolls out of 10. And on that note, we're going to go ahead and head on out of here. Do svidaniya, comrades. And remember, the Cold War never really ended. I'm sorry, was I supposed to make a joke?